There we go. Okay, so we're going to start in the Sivei Torah, where the Rebbe discusses the unique nature of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that we shouldn't just go through the actions of learning, but what are we doing, why are we doing it, what does it accomplish, why is it so important. All the great ideas behind the mitzvah of Talmud Torah are elaborated upon in the next section, so I figured it's a very fundamental idea that we should probably tackle.
Is he going to speak about, like I know you can't be thinking about when you're over, like, Osik and Tara, like, that you're doing it with Shema, because then you can't be thinking about the Sukkah. So, like, is he going to speak about
we'll get all that. All that good stuff, you know, will be discussed. Says the Rebbe Psicha, one page earlier, Benji, that in his introduction, Arucha mi'eretz mida rechava mine yam. The Pasuk in Iyov says that, referring to the Torah, it's longer than the world. It can't be measured in length. And it's greater, it's wider than the seas. Teresena Gadosha Mahusa, its essence, la'elu la'elu mikol dargin. It's above all levels. It's above all levels. It's above any physical measurement, physical representation. It's above. Kimo b'briyas ha'olamo shebora makbora yisbarach shemo dargos zu l'malamizu. Just like in the creation of the world, that Hashem created levels in creation, one level above the other one, meaning Olam Asiya, Hayetzira, Habriya, VaHatzilus. We know that the world was created in their four Olamos. There are four Olamos. The Gordon talks about this in the beginning of his Tefillah Shiurim. There are four Olamos, and as Hashem created the world, each olam is one step further removed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. In other words, when Hashem created the world, there are Asar Mamoros, but Asar Mamoros Nivar Olam, Hashem used 10 different sayings to create the world. And as those sayings were mishtalshel, as they rolled into effect and took effect, and they massed the essence of God, the more that they were masking the essence of God, so each step further removed is considered a new olam. You have Yetzira. I'm not going to get to the details of it. Atzilus is the highest level of creation. That filtered down into Bria, which was not only an idea, but it was an idea that had, you know, you have an idea, for example, let's put it this way. Somebody wants to build a house. That's an idea. I want to build a house. They haven't put that idea into dimensions. They haven't drawn plans yet. They know they want to build a house, right? They might be picturing that house in their head, but the idea is still in the oil of ideas, right? Bria is the next level, where now it's no longer in the oil of ideas, but it has a how to bring it into existence, right? Now you begin to draw the plans. You began to bring it out into fruition. The next level is Yetziras, where you actually start to act upon that. You start to prepare for the building process. It's not only an architectural design, but now you've purchased the property, you've purchased the what's it called? The materials necessary to build. And then Asiya is when it's actually built. Right? See, is when it's actually built. So, if you parallel this, the Bria's Ha'ilim was done on the same level. Atzilus is an idea of creation. Right? Hashem decided he wanted to create the world. And then, Yetzirah is when that idea began to form into how he's going to build it. Right? The plan to build the world. What was behind it all. And then, that filtered down into Olam Ha'Yetzirah, where not only was an idea with plans, but he started to carry those plans into fruition, figuring out exactly what materials are going to be used and stuff like that. And Asiya is when it's actually brought into creation, when a physical representation of Hashem is the farthest removed from Hashem himself. Right, Hashem is above all physicality. It's also, it's apikarsis to say Hashem is physical. So to say that Hashem's words, which are 100% spiritual, are creating a physical entity, right, that is ultimate detachment from the words themselves. There's a tremendous gap that you have to bridge to get from Kula Ruchni to something that's a world, which is Gashmi. So that's what, you know, the Akiva Tatz calls his book World Mask, because the world is a mask to the spirituality that is behind it all. Right? We don't see the words of Hashem in the tree outside. But the only reason that tree exists is because Hashem said, let there be trees. And there were trees. Right? And if Hashem stops saying, let there be trees, the trees won't exist anymore. And they'll never have existed. They will poof and be gone. Right? So, you have the world was created with different levels. Right? It was done in different stages. Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. Kitzula mutzav aretz of Rosh Megiya Shemayim of the Pasuk by Yaakov Avinu, right, with a ladder on the ground whose head is reaching up to Shemayim. Mat meaning there are different levels within Torah. There are different levels within Torah. Maskel b'pshat, you start with the simple explanation. Remez drush. You start from the basics of pshat and the remez drush, and eventually you can raise up to the level of sodos, the highest level of sodos, which not every brain, not every head has the ability to understand, has the ability to take in. Mitoras chayim avor kol anivraim. And from Torah's Chaim, a person is able to transfer, a person is able to move into a Hanhaga that is an infinite Hanhaga, the way Hashem runs the world, the way Hashem interacts.
What does that mean, Torah's Chaim?
From the Torah's Chaim, the Torah is called Torah's Chaim, but from the Torah itself, a person is able to transfer himself into a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how he exists and how he runs the world, I should say not exists, but how he runs the world through his infinite wisdom.
What is Zod?
Zod are the secrets of Torah. Let me finish this paragraph and we'll explain. The lake immediately loaded means what I said, because there's nothing that's not hinted at in the Torah. Vadheina Hashem needs of a love. Vadheina Hashem needs of a love. That to the ultimate to the degree that Hashem is standing on the Torah, meaning that the whole Torah is Yisroel Baraisa Kuchabricha Chad. The Torah is a description, an explanation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the way he interacts with the world. On the highest level and on the lowest level. And the deeper one delves into the Torah, the deeper one understands Torah, the greater his appreciation will be for the Hanhagas of Hashem, how Hashem is running the world. So, the Torah itself, Hashem's in the Torah. Ki'ilu Hashem is in the Torah. He's not physically in the Torah, because that would be Abikarsis also. Right? But the way he interacts with the world is in the Torah. Now, what is Sod? So Sod, on a basic level, and we'll get there, he's going to describe this more at length later on, but on a basic level, when you read Chumash, it's easiest to describe a Torah Shebichtav, right? You have Chumash. When you read Chumash, there's a basic understanding of the Pshat of the Pesukim, right? Pshat of the Pesukim. You can open up your art scroll and you can get a simple translation of the Pesukim. Now guess what? The art scroll is not a direct translation, word for word, of what the Chumash is saying. Right? It's not. Because the art scroll, it explains the words of Chumash in Alpi Rashi to make sense out of what the words should mean. They may paint a picture, they tell a story from the words. Now, if you directly translate the Chumash words, the direct translation of the words, then a lot of things don't add up. You have questions. How does A equal B? How does one lead to the next? You have three people that said, and then, you know, it says there are three people standing there, and then it says Vayikach, and he took. Well, three people were just standing there. What do you mean, and he took? So Rashi says that the, you know, Pinchas was the one in charge, so he took was, you know, the he was the main person that was involved. Right, so the art school translation is there are three people standing there, and Pinchas leading the three people took. But that's not what the words say. The words say, and he took, only he took, not three people took, right? So that's the level of pshat, is using the word, taking the words of Torah and explaining what is the simple story here. Now, the simple story here could be in many levels of simple story. Why was this person the one that was the main one involved? But that's all on the level of pshat. That's all in basic understanding of what is the Torah telling me. Remez, the easiest way to understand remez, is, you know, there are various levels of remez as well. But the remez is gematrias, for example. It hints. The Torah is hinting at things. Right? It's hinting at things. You have this whole, there's these books about Bible codes. Right? We have skip every 63 words starting from here to get, you know, the following idea because of the 63rd year, whatever it is, I don't know. Those are all hints. They're all there. It's true. It's there. Right? The probability, as they say in the beginning of these, you know, Bible code books, is the probability that this should happen without it being put there by somebody, you know, on purpose is like one in a gazillion. So it was done on purpose. It makes sense that it was done on purpose. It didn't just happen that way. Right? But they're not explicit, you know, things that are written black on white in the Torah. They're hints at the ideas that are found in the Torah. They're hints at greater ideas that are behind the words. They're there, but they're not explicit. Those are ramazim. And then you have drushes. Pshat rem is drush. Drush, right? Gemara is filled with drushes. There's an extra vav. What do we darshan from the extra vav? And that's a drush. Again, it's not explicitly. It's hinted at because there's an extra vav. But what does that extra vav mean? What does it lead to? What is it? You know, what are the implications? Those are all drushes. We have many ways to darshan. We have drushes that are halacha drushes, right? And midrashi chazal that are teaching you halacha. And midrashi chazal that are teaching you agada, right? Medrash Rabba is a book of drushes. It's drushes, but it's all agadatim, right? Whereas medrash halacha, like the Sifri, Sifra, the Mechilta, right, those are teaching halachas based on the drushes of the psukim. These are all drushes. In other words, there's a hint at the pasuk. There's something with the pasuk that doesn't, that's extra, it shouldn't be there, doesn't need to be, whatever it is, but there's some reason to darshan. We have a mesorah that you connect these two words, tesvav, tesvav, xer shava. These are all drushes. Okay? That's another way, another layer of Torah. It's all there. You just have to know how to get there, right? So they have pshat, remez, drush, and then sod. The Ramban tells us in his Hakdamah to his Perush and Chumash that the entire Torah are Shemos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch, the names of Hashem. What do you mean? Bereshis is the name of Hashem, right? Bara is the name of Hashem. The Ramban says that we read the words Bereshis Bara Lakim, right? But really, you could also read the words Bara, Eish, Yot, Bara Aleph, Bara Aleph. Where'd you get that from? Now, who told you to make to separate the words where there's a gap? We have a Mesorah, Yeshem Lemikra, how to read it. We have a Mesorah of how to read the Torah. We have a Mesorah of how to read the Torah. And that's how we're supposed to. We're chayiv to read it. Pialocha, yeah, when you have Chris, you have to read it that way. But it doesn't tell you the other ways to read the Torah are false. They're not wrong. Because there's a lot more that's hinted at in the words that are beneath the surface. Right? Beneath the surface. So, Kulo Shemos Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that if you would look at the Torah in a different way, you'd be able to understand that really it's all names of Hashem there somehow. That's one level. On a deeper level, you know, the Ramban's also hinting at the name of Hashem represents the way Hashem interacts with the world. We're not describing who Hashem is, right? A name is a way a way Hashem interacts with the world. So, right, like Elokim is Midas Adin. Hashem's interacting with the world through Midas Adin. How do we know that? Because we use the name Elokim. Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem Avaya, is when Hashem interacts with the world through Midas HaRachamim. Right? Kaya Lakim is
Yud
Aleph.
Ka
is I forget.
No one ever talks about that one.
They do. Ka and well,
the crowns. The crowns on the letters on the Sefer Torah, that'd be considered so.
The Dashinan kolay aksarim
shvayim.
No, Dashinan doesn't necessarily have to mean that it's drush.
But
doesn't necessarily add up. Dashinan could be explaining. Just the word the drush is to explain.
Oh,
now, I don't know if it's called drushes. I'm not sure. It could be. I'm not sure. I don't know. But there. So when the Ramban says that the whole Torah Shemosh Elokos Baruch Hu means on a different level. That the Torah is describing the way Hashem interacts with the world. It's describing the hanhagas Hashem with this world. So you read the Torah, the Chumash, and the, you know, Bereish is an easy one, but you shouldn't have an Asherah, right? You shouldn't worship a Avodah Zarah. So there's certain sowed in those words, there's certain secrets of those words that are teaching you that Hashem interacts with the world in a certain way. How do we know that? Because of this name of Hashem, that you shouldn't worship a Avodah Zarah. Right? Doesn't say that. That's very, very far beneath the surface, right? And when you get to the level of Sodos, so everything we have is parables or Mishalim that are hinting at deeper ideas.
So Gadatas are all Sod?
Gadatas are not all
Sod. There's parables that are...
Gadatas are... First of all, I was talking about Mikra, but if you go into Gemara, Agarata, there's a level of Agarata that are just, you can understand the Agarata as a Pshat. The Ramchal talks in his Hagdamah, in the beginning of the Midrash Rabbah, they quote, they have there the Ramchal's Hagdamah to learning Midrash, where he discusses that there are different ways to learn Agadah, and each understanding of the Agadah, and you get into an Agadah, and each level of understanding, there's a message in that. In other words, Chazal decided to, they wanted to teach you an idea. They wanted to, don't be a Balgaiva. So how do they teach the idea of don't be a Balgaiva? They taught it by talking about a guy flying on a magic carpet. So the Ramchal says, well, if the message is don't be a Balgaiva, this is Pasha the Muster, don't be a Balgaiva, why did they tell me with the following story? And there's a lesson in that also. Now, there's lessons to be learned from the pshat of the Agadah as well. But the Agadah is hinting at deeper ideas. Is it? It's probably considered drush. Definitely, there is so that you can get from Agadah, and there's so you can get from everywhere. Right? From Dinei Mamonos V'Shloisha, I was once in a shir. I went to Nei Yisrael for numerous times. There's a Rebbe in Rebbe Nei Yisrael, Nochum Lansky. So Nochum Lansky, I assume he's still there, is a Meridik Gagoyim. Amazing, amazing genius. He's one of the biggest Mikubalim in America. But he's a Shivisha. He's not like one of these, you know, he's not one of these guys that wears a turban all day and flying on his magic carpet. He gives a regular Gemara Shir, you know, very Lomdish Gemara Shir, and Nochum Lansky. In Baltimore. And so he gives a regular Gemara Shir, but every now and then. So when I was there, the reason I found out about him is somebody gave me his tapes on Shir Shirim. And when you start listening to Rav Nachman and Shir Shirim, there's a pshat in Shir Shirim, which is like very complicated. But then there's like this very deep understanding of Shir Shirim. And that was like amazing. So I wanted to hear, you know, say he was giving a shir a Friday night explaining the seventh parak, the mission at the beginning of the seventh parak of Baba Kama, Meruba, Al Pi Sod. And he started explaining Meruba is also the lashon for a rectangle which has four sides, and the Meruba, the Gemara, the Mishnah saying there are more tashlume this over that. So he starts to go, well, why do you use this lashon and not that lashon, what is that? And all of a sudden you're like, where did that come from? But he was taking a Mishnah, a halacha dika Mishnah, that none of us would have seen anything close to that in the Mishnah and went there, like, I don't know, somewhere way over there, right? Very far over there.
When they wrote it, they had that in mind?
Yes. The Chasam Sefer writes very clearly that the Tanoi, when they wrote up the Ruach HaKodesh, they had tremendous kavanas. Yeah, they had tremendous kavanas behind what they were writing, and it was all inclusive in the Mishnayos. So yeah, so somehow, you know, if you know what you're doing, right? I also was zeiche to hear on a recording. I wasn't at the shir, but a friend of mine went to the shir and Chalamai, and he recorded it. And it was Ramesh Shapira explaining the sodos behind Hilchos Shmita. So he went and he heard, and Ramesh Shapira was a big Talmud Chacham, very big Talmud Chacham in Nigla also, you know, Pashut and Gemara Rashi Taisis. So when he heard the sodas, he thought he meant he was going to go explain like the lomdus behind the, you know, the different malachis of Shemitah. And all of a sudden that, you know, it had nothing to do with malachis of Shemitah, right? But he started explaining how like the different aspects of Shemitah and being machriach from Mishnayis, we're all teaching you these very deep ideas that were there. So sodas means that you know there's a level of understanding of Torah that's very, very far beneath the surface. And if you don't have a Rebbe to teach you, you're never going to get there. Right? You'll never get there. And there are people that can't push it, he says. There are people that push it can't, even if they do have a Rebbe, they push it, can't get there. So try it. Not every brain has the capacity to understand and to be soivil, soivis.
Most can't.
I don't know. Most people don't get to the level that they would be able. I mean, it could be that I have a brain that could be a sadistic brain, but since I don't know enough Torah, I'm never going to get there. So like, it doesn't matter if you know, you might have the right brain, but you have to be able to get to that level also, right? I could have a brain capacity to understand astrophysics, but if I never learn physics, I'm never going to get to astrophysics either, right? It doesn't mean I physically can't do it. I might be able to. I don't know. I'm not close to astrophysics yet. I promise you that.
I just got clarification on that stuff so far. Rashi says that Ibur Katani, a town is making a mistake with that lashon, that big of a mistake.
The Gemara tells we have chasur mechzer v'alch katani all over the place, right? Meaning that
they're meant to do that though. That's on a purpose. The lashon Rashi uses is that town is making a mistake. That bothered me a lot. What do you mean mistake? Chasur mechzer v'alch katani, the one of the said over last year, was that Tanam Dafka wrote them in backwards, skewered ways and leaving things out so you'd have to have everybody learn from.
So I'm not sure. I mean, I think the answer would be that Rashi is obviously talking about Derech HaPshat, and Derech HaPshat is that, yes, there are, you know, there are mistakes that
I guess
are
Rashi only says that people shot.
But, yeah.
Alright, fine.
If everything was written in the Mishnayos, like Ruach Kodesh, was it so like big and?
So you should have a Rebbe.
So you should learn like more.
The Tiferes Yisrael on Mishnayos writes that very, very clearly. The Mishnayos were specifically written in a way in order to maintain a certain level of Torah Shabbat Peh. Now, there's a Horash Shah. The Rebbe wrote that Mishnayos because they were being forgotten. But if you wrote down all the details, if you wrote it down explicitly, guess what's going to happen? You're going to completely destroy the Rebbe Talmud relationship. Right? If I could go on Google and type in the word, I don't know, Nesivei Torah, and get every single idea about Talmud Torah possible, so I don't need a Rebbe to teach it to me. I have the Google Rebbe, right? What do I need anymore? And you're going to have these people that are locked in their man caves all day, and they're going to, you know, be sitting there glued to their computers without ever interacting with real people other than the, you know, that little picture. So you're going to destroy that relationship of Rabbi Talmud relationship. There is and it will destroy that level of Torah Shabbat Peh. So the Tiferes Yisrael wanted, said that when Rabbi Yerushal, he had to write down the Mishnayos. But in order that it should maintain this Torah Shabbat Peh, there should be two tracks. There should be Torah Shabbat Peh and Torah Shabbat Peh. In order to maintain that reality, he did it in a way that it's not, you're not going to be able to just open up the Mishnayos and get everything on your own. Now, why is it necessary to have a Torah Shabbat Peh still? That's your question. Why do you need that Masoret still? Let's get it all written down. Why? Well, you know, wouldn't that be more beneficial? So I'll quote one story from Rabbi Baruch Ber, and this was the beginning of an answer. There's a lot more to the answer. We're not going to have time to get into all the details now. But from this answer, this story, hopefully we'll be able to appreciate something. The Baruch Ber was known, Birch Shmuel. If you open up any page of Birch Shmuel, so almost every page of Birch Shmuel, he quotes from Rashke Bahag, Meiri Verabi, right? Avi Avais, Againim, Harav, Ruchaim, right? The Tzukul, Chayyolim, Habar, every single page. All the abbreviations before, and all the prefixes, all the suffixes, they're all there. And he quotes non-stop a shtickel from Reb Chaim. Non-stop. Right? Hakira from Reb Chaim, an answer from Reb Chaim, all over the place, right? So somebody, a big chutzpah dick, right? A big chutzpah, right? Some guys we have in the Shiva. Right? So this big chutzpah dick guy goes over to Baruch Ber and he says, Shiva, I don't understand. Why do you need to go to Reb Chaim to get an answer? Just go. You can just pick up a Reb Akiva Eger and you'll know the right answer. The cash in the sugya. You don't know how to learn the sugya. But this week, pick up. Who's going to argue in Reb Akiva Eger? Every card-carrying member of the rabbinic world is going to agree with Reb Akiva Eger. So why do you need Reb Chaim? Just go to Reb Akiva Eger. So, like a good Talmud, Reb Baruch Ber went to Reb Chaim and he asked Reb Chaim, "Why do I need you? I could go to Reb Akiva Eger. Pick up the smart Reb Akiva Eger. Are we good, right?"
Baruch Ber asked him.
He asked Reb Chaim. So what did Reb Chaim answer? I'm married to Kipshat. Reb Chaim said to Reb Baruch Ber, he goes, "You're right. If you want the right answers, you can go to Reb Akiva Eger. But if you want to know why your answers are wrong, you have to come to me. I'll tell you why your svaras are krum." Okay. In other words, there's so much chiddush in Torah, and there's so many levels of Torah that are not explicitly written. If you want to just be a quote unquote chamor naisei svarim, if you want to be a donkey just carrying around a lot of books on your back, right? And to be Google with a ton of information, you don't need Reb Chaim, you don't need a Rebbe. But if you want to understand what's there and to have the koyach, the capability of applying it elsewhere, how to learn something in the Gemara and interpret it for real life, right? So then you need something to explain to you, to fix your brain to think in the appropriate way. So if it's all written explicitly, then we'll have a bunch of donkeys carrying around with no brains of their own, just with a lot of books on their back, right? Yeah. If we want to make sure that people become people and actually have a brain that can think and use the information productively, so we have to maintain the Torah Shabbat. Ultimately.